casa tem o costume de fazer homem pra bode. Eu chorei do lado, eu chorei, eu chorei, eu chorei, eu chorei do lado, eu chorei, eu chorei, eu chorei.
From the northeast of Brazil, ending this week's World Roots, which was presented by Lucy Duran and produced by James Parkin. This is BBC Radio 3. It's now 3 minutes past 11, and a little later than advertised, we join Julian Joseph in the middle of this week's jazz lineup. Later in the programme, we'll hear from the American singer Gregory Porter. Kevin Legendre reports from a jazz festival, the Jazz Sous les Pommiers Festival in Normandy. But the programme begins with the group Bright Noise and the title track from their album of the same name.
Scotsman Ben Bryden and his New York-based band Bright Noise playing the title track from their four-track EP. Tenor duties shared between Bryden and Stephen Delanoy, with Tim Bassam on guitar, Des White on bass and Dustin Kaufman on the drums. Well, some collaborations just always bring out the best in musicians, and pairing vibraphone master Gary Burton with piano heavyweight Chick Corea always brings forth musical magic. They've been duetting over the past 40 years and still sound fresh and inspired. From their latest recording, this is the title track, Hot House. The two jazz veterans still on top form technically and full of ideas. And you may have caught their recent show in London at the Barbican on the 11th of April. Leading up to the Olympics and keeping the international theme going, gifted bassist, vocalist and band leader Esperanza Spalding's latest album, Radio Music Society, features a combination of tunes from the worlds of jazz and R&B. On this Wayne Shorter composition, she shares vocal duties with the expressive contralto voice of Layla Hathaway. This is Endangered Species. ¶¶
Thank you.
Endangered Species from Esperanza Spalding, featuring the soulful tones of Layla Hathaway on vocals. And yes, she is the daughter of soul legend Donny Hathaway. The album is called Radio Music Society and features the likes of Joe Lovano, Terry Lynn Carrington, Billy Hart, Gretchen Parlato, and Q-Tip. Now we turn to the tender and thoughtful music of former BBC Radio 3 new generation jazz artist Tom Arthurs in collaboration with pianist Richard Fairhurst. The album is called Postcards from Pushkin and sees the two playing with lots of space, utilising the acoustic of the recording room. It's exemplified in this composition called Given Up. Given Up, from the flugelhorn of Tom Arthurs and piano of Richard Fairhurst. The album is called Postcards from Pushkin and is out now on the Babel label. A few weeks ago, Claire Martin was assigned the pleasure of speaking with the vocal man of the moment, Gregory Porter. Before we hear that interview, from his album Water, here's 1960 What?
Hey, the Motor City is burning. That ain't right. 1960, hey, the Motor City is burning, y'all. That ain't right. People standing on the balcony of the Lorraine Motel. Shots rang out. Yes, it was a gun. He was the only one to fall down, y'all. That ain't right. Then his people scream, ain't no need for sunlight. Ain't no need for moonlight. Ain't no need for street light. 'Cause it's burning real bright. Some folks say we gon' fight. 'Cause this here thing just ain't right. 1960 what? 1960 who? 1960 what? 1960 who? 19. Hey, the Motor City is burning, y'all. With three pieces of black licorice in his hand, y'all. Mr. Policeman thought it was a gun, thought it was the one, shot him down, y'all. That ain't right. Then his mama screamed, ain't no need for sunlight. Ain't no need for moonlight. Ain't no need for street lights. It's just burning real bright. Some folks say we gon' fight. 'Cause this here thing just ain't right. 1960 what? 1960 who? 1960 what? 1960 who? 19. Hey, the Motor City's burning. We'll be right back.
1960 What, taken from the CD Water. And my guest today is Grammy-nominated Brooklyn-based jazz vocalist Gregory Porter, who has recently been lighting up the UK stages and whose star is definitely on the rise. His debut album, Water, won Jazzwise magazine's 2011 Album of the Year award. And here to tell us about his life and career in jazz, I'm very pleased to say I'm joined by Gregory now. Welcome to Jazz Lineup.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Gregory, listeners that are new to your work, and there may still be a few, give us a potted history of your journey from football scholarship to Grammy nomination.
Well, they're so closely connected. Taking a man by his neck and dragging him to the ground is just the same as singing Skylark. Didn't you know? No. My mother was quite happy when I injured my shoulder and was unable to play football anymore. She said, now you can concentrate on your school studies and...
Be a doctor.
Yeah, and music. She did say music. She said, you know, before she passed away, she said, Gregory, it's one of the best things you do, and I'd love to see you singing because it makes you happy. When I was a kid, I was singing all the time. And so I involved myself in wherever I could sing, in theater. You know, if somebody needed me to sing the national anthem, I was there, you know, whatever. Happy birthday.
Happy
sing.
Birthday, yeah.
People would always walk past me with a cell phone and say, sing happy birthday to my mama. and I would, and, you know, it would light up some office somewhere on the other side of town. But music was, you know, just something that had been inside of me since I was a child. Mm. And so...
Your mom was a minister, wasn't she?
My mother was a minister.
Was there a lot of gospel music in the house? Did you grow up in a big church?
Absolutely. Well, I grew up primarily in small churches.
Right.
My mother believed in... She had a concept of small church, you know, if you can have a big impact on a few people rather than a little impact on a bunch of people. So small churches, primarily she was the leader, the missionary of the church. And yeah, a lot of gospel music. Mm. She loved Mahalia Jackson, so that was playing in the house. Unfortunately for me, she also loved Nat King Cole, and I heard that music for the first time at a very young age.
Mm. Talking about age, I mean, I'm looking at you now, and I you know, no disrespect, but you're in my kind of arena here.
Yeah. I mean,
so this is your debut. What took you so long? Where have you been?
Well, I will say I was trying to get the proper money to record a proper album, and I did. I did one on my own, self-produced, which I no longer sell, but I was trying, but sometimes it's hard to get recognized. It really is.
Absolutely.
It's just, this is not an easy business.
Absolutely not.
And there was a few times I thought it would happen. I recorded with the Laws family, Hubert Laws, and I ended up doing, maybe a couple of years later, I recorded with Ronnie Laws, and I thought, well, somebody will hear that and then, you know, come talk to me.
Mm.
But it didn't happen, probably because I was moving back and forth in between the music and theater world.
Yes, not only you're a singer-songwriter, but you're an actor.
Yeah.
So, I mean, let's talk about that, what you've done, but also how being an actor helps being a singer.
Absolutely, it does. For me, particularly in jazz, we put on the cloaks and we paint ourselves with the colors of the songs, and we become the characters in these songs. We become the person speaking of a skylark leading to some love on the other side. We become the person who's working on a chain gang somewhere.
I'm quite frightened of you when you sing that song, actually.
Yes.
I've seen you do that.
Well, that's the idea. Well, it's you become that character because jazz music is so emotionally expressive and emotive. That's why I was attracted to that music, because in a way gospel music is that way. You know, the spirit can take over you and you become that music.
So tell us about this, I guess it is the break, which is Water. Here you go, you've got this, at last you do this album, and it gets nominated for a Grammy.
Yeah.
It was all your dreams come true, so you've waited, but there was a sort of pot of gold at the end.
Yeah, well, in addition to the Grammy nomination, also a part of that dream was to sell 10 million copies. I didn't do that.
Not yet.
No, but yeah, it really was. I didn't, you know, when you write a song on the way from your house to your coffee shop, and then you sing that song to your friends once you get to the coffee house, you don't think to yourself, wow, somebody in the Grammy committee is going to listen to that and say, that's good enough for a nomination. Mm. Now, that's what happened. You know, that's what Illusions, you know, the melody was in my head. And then I have it all on tape. And then I go to the coffee shop and I sing it to some of my friends who are sitting at the table. And then I go record it. And
That's the song that you sang on Jules Holland.
Yeah.
And that's really, of course, been terrific for you in the UK. Getting television presence like that has really helped. And I guess that's why you dress so smart now. You're rich and you've got your suit on. You're forgetting about your jazz ladies now.
Now you're messing with me. And I say, if I told you where I got these clothes from, you would laugh. You know?
Probably wouldn't. Be good. Tell me about the lyrics to this. There's lots of references to you being a lion.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the subject of this single.
Yeah. Well, it's personal. My best writing comes from my personal experiences. And this is about a woman I was involved with. And she kind of, she kept me in this, figurative box. She loved to kind of look at me and admire me, but you know, when it was at her convenience, she would put me back in this box, in this cage, for poetic sense. She loved to be around me, but not partake of me. So that came out of my heart. Be good, and she's a dancer, by the way, a brilliant dancer, an extraordinary dancer.
Okay. Well, she could have pirouetted her way away from the cage.
Right, that's what she did.
Let's hear it now. Gregory Porter's single, Be Good.
Be Good is her name. I sing my lion song and brush my mane. She would and she could, so she pulled my lion's tail and caused me pain. She said, lion, are made for cages, just to look at in delight. You dare not let them walk around, 'cause they might just bite. She knows what she does when she dances round my cage and says her name. Be good, be good. A name. I trim my lion's claws and I cut my mane, and I would if I could, but that woman treats me the same. She said, lions are made for cages, just to look at and delight. You dare not let them walk around, but they might just bite. Does she know what she does when she dances around my cage? Thank you. be good is her name. I sing my lion song, brush my mane, and she would if she could. So she pulled my lion's tail and caused me pain. To look at in delight, dare not let them walk around, cause they might just bite. Does she know what she does when she dances around my cage? Be good is her. Trim my lion's claws and I cut my mane. And I would if I could. But be good treats me the same. She said lions are made for cages. Just to look out in delight, you dare not let them walk around, but they might just bite. Does she know what she does when she dances around my cage? She dances around my cage. Does she know? Does she know be good, be good, be good, be good?
That was Be Good by Gregory Porter, and that's his single out now, and I'm talking to Gregory. Let's talk about the songs, because you are a songwriter, and I know that London has inspired you for some of your lyrics, but how do you source material if it's not your own writing, and how do you get inspired for your own lyrics?
You know, for material that's already out there that I'm you know, it'll really just be the turn of the lyric and the music. And if it's something that I was like, ooh, I would love to say that. And that's why I feel like we're so lucky as singers, because we get to say, the greatest thing you'll ever learn is just to love and be loved in return. That's a beautiful thing to say.
That is a beautiful thing to say.
And it gets to come through us, you know? And it's such a sweet thing. Just if the lyric touches me, that's how I choose a song. Mm. And as for my writing, I'll just come across a thought and it'll stay in my head and it won't leave me until I flush it out. And so that happened to me when I was in London, and I was walking around the Tower of London. I was thinking about, wow, look at this structure. This structure was meant to contain something and to protect something. And I got to thinking about love. You know, there's these forces that may be trying to get at love and try to push it over and try to knock it down and question it. But then I was thinking, you know, if love has its own tower, has its own gates, its own ramparts, you know, that protect it. So I wrote this song, Our Love, which the lyric is, vultures are flying round the ramparts of the towers of our love. you know, all this treachery is coming at us. Forces of hate have stormed the gates around the castles of our love.
Nice.
But it's being protected by these walls that we've put up against these people who are trying to tear us down.
I love it. So plans for this year, and you've made such a big impact. Lots and lots of fans in the UK. What are your plans for this year? I mean, this is big now. You're Grammy nominated. Where do we go from here?
My thought and my ideas is really to keep writing. I hope to stay organic. I hope to perform more, because the thing is when I get in front of audiences who haven't seen me or heard of me before, you know, they're like, who's this guy? And I win them over for, you know, I win them over, I think, not with anything clever. It's the very thing that they have, and that's emotion and just being real and coming from the heart.
Mm. Yeah. So more of that. And you
more
will come back lots.
And I will come back as often as you'll have me.
Very well, all the time. Choose another track for us to go out on.
This next track is a song about the streets of Harlem. This one is called On My Way to Harlem.
Mm. And you live in Brooklyn.
I live in Brooklyn.
So you could feasibly get to Harlem within 10 minutes.
Well, I wrote this one on my way, but it takes about 35 minutes on the train. I wrote this one on my way from Brooklyn to Harlem.
Okay. Yeah. It's been a pleasure to meet you. I wish you all the best with this CD. Here's Gregory Porter.
Thank you so much.
Out on my way to Harlem. Ellington, you don't live around here. He moved away one day, so they say, from Harlem. I can hear his echo still. Now, you can't keep me away from where I was born. I know that Marvin Gaye used to play right in here. Somebody say you can't keep me away from where I was born. Mm-hmm. Ellington, he don't live around here. He moved away one day, so they say, away from Harlem. I can hear his echo. Marvin Gaye used to play What's Going On right over there. I sure could use some of those blues from Langston Hughes. There goes that A train. Hey, there goes that A train through Harlem. Hey, there goes that A train. Hey, there goes that A train. Hey, there goes that A train.
Gregory Porter with On My Way to Harlem from his current album Be Good, and my thanks to Claire Martin for that interview. And Gregory performs in the UK, a special guest with Jules Holland and his Rhythm and Blues Orchestra on their 2012 Spring Summer UK tour, which is currently in full swing. He'll also be performing his own shows at Band on Wall on June the 12th in Manchester, and in London he'll be at the Bloomsbury Theatre on June 13th and 14th. This is Jazz Lineup with me, Julian Joseph, on BBC Radio 3, on FM, online, and on digital radio. As well as jazz on Radio 3, there's plenty more jazz across the BBC airwaves. Over on Radio 2, Tuesday nights at 7 p.m, there's Jamie Cullum. And across the regions, on local BBC radio, lots of jazz treasures. Worth checking out, Gary Copley on BBC Radio Leeds. And here's Gary to tell you a bit more about the show going out.
Hi, Julian. I present Sounds of Jazz on BBC Radio Leeds, which goes out at 9 o'clock every Monday evening. And tomorrow, from the past, an interview with Wild Bill Davison, and from the present, a recording from the new Marsalis Family album, and from two CDs I brought back from New Orleans. And you can find me at bbc.co.uk/Radio Leeds.
Thanks, Gary. Now to a band with remarkable individuals that combine into one of the strongest jazz groups to have emerged from the British music scene. Led by the effervescent bass man from Denmark, yes, it's Jasper Højby, and his trio Phronesis. Brit Ivo Neem is the pianist and Swede Anton Eiger is on drums. Their new album is called Walking Dark and is titled in tribute to Højby's visually impaired sister. All the guys contribute to the writing. This is their fourth album on the excellent Edition label and is their brilliant follow-up to the very strong live album. This is American Jesus. Thank you. The superb phronesis in a composition from pianist Ivo Niem called American Jesus. The album is called Walking Dark. Anton Iger is the drummer, and their leader and bassist is Jasper Hoiby. And it's well worth going to hear these guys live. And you're in luck, as phronesis are on tour and play Manchester on Thursday, May the 17th at the Band on the Wall. And they're also in Wakefield on Friday, May the 18th at the Wakefield Sports Club. Well, jazz fans will also be interested to hear about a very exciting jazz lineup recording happening at BBC Glasgow's Pacific Keys Studios on Monday the 28th of May, featuring the Scottish National Jazz Orchestra, directed by Tommy Smith. Check out the ticket information by following the link on the jazz lineup homepage. Well, jazz festival season is upon us. We've just had Cheltenham, Southport, and coming up later in the year, we have jazz festivals in Glasgow, Edinburgh, Manchester, and London, just to name a few, who will be showcasing the very best of the UK's vibrant jazz scene, and I'm sure some very interesting visiting artists. But set in Coutances, France, is the community-based festival Le Sous les Pommiers. This year's festival is in full swing and runs till the 19th of May and features Don Byron's new gospel quintet, Robert Glasper's Experiment, Dave Douglas and Keystone, bluesman Kenny Neal, Archie Shepp, Joachim Kuhn and many more. Our intrepid reporter Kevin Legendre was fortunate enough to visit last year's event, and coming up next we get an insight into this unique festival and the local community who are a key part of its success. Kevin caught up with one of the volunteers to tell us a bit more.
So I'm with Claudine, who is one of the volunteers who works for Jazz Sous les Pommiers. Claudine, how long have you been working as a volunteer for Jazz Sous les Pommiers?
I've been working since 7 years. So 7 years ago, I came here, and I'm still here, and I'm still happy to be here.
So what do you do during the festival? What is your job?
I try to, with some others, to make the festival clean, to change the habits of the people, to make an eco-festival.
To respect the the environment, not to leave rubbish around.
Yes.
What would you say makes Jazz Sous Les Pommiers special?
I would say Jazz Sous Les Pommiers in Coutances is a kind of community. Yes. I think it's what makes the difference between some others' festival. Everybody you meet in during the festival, you're a musician, you're a volunteer. Everybody is very pleased to be here. This is a little town. Nothing happened during the year. Nothing much happened. Just the cathedral.
We can hear the bells in the background.
Yeah, the bell of a cathedral. And 1 week a year, it's a very, very, very cheerful town. And many people in the street, and everybody knows each other as well. And everybody loves being here. And you've got many people from everywhere, from abroad sometimes, come here, and are very, very pleased to be here.
I'm here with Daniel Ivnik, who is the artistic director of the Orchestre National de Jazz, and we're sitting backstage in the théâtre. Daniel is going to be performing, or he's going to be presenting the Orchestre National de Jazz quite soon. How important would you say that Jazz Sous Les Pommiers is to the jazz scene in France generally?
I think it is very important. I mean, I think France is a really pretty amazing place for jazz, because there are a lot of festivals, and there also are a lot of festivals in small places, you know. But this one is, I think it's really important, because it shows, which I'm very sensitive to, it shows that you can have the same nights. For example, tonight there is, if I'm not wrong, us, Jamie Cullum, Ron Carter. I think, you know, the good thing about this festival is that they can, you know, have a big star the same night as having something much more experimental. And I think they can teach people that they can enjoy as much, you know, Jamie Cullum 2 hours after they heard an artist from the ECM label from, you know, like Iceland, or, you know, because for me, there's no, you know, I'm really serious when I'm saying that, there's no difference. I can listen to that in the same hour and have no shock or no guilt, you know, or, because it's just music, it's, there's nothing to worry about, you know.
I'm backstage at the Salle Marcel Elie in Coutances. So, Jamie, you played last night in this wonderful venue. It's a big venue, isn't it? It's a big place.
Yeah, it's a big venue. But, you know, that somehow they managed to get the atmosphere right here. I have thoughts on why that is.
Pray tell.
Well, as a performer, when you arrive at a festival, you immediately, people meet you at the airport and they take you to a hotel and they look after you, and you know, normally they're people employed by the festival. Well, here, everyone apart from the people on stage, i.e. the technical crew, they're all volunteers. So they come here for the love of it. And that really shines through, that this festival is run by love and not by money, I guess. It's a very obvious thing that it is apparent to a performer when they arrive at somewhere like this.
You went down really well last night, the reception from the audience, the enthusiasm, just the kind of delirium at one point in the room was quite overwhelming, I imagine, for you.
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, France in general have been very, very kind to me, but You know, last night was a surprise. You know, sometimes at a something that's more supposedly a straight jazz festival, it can have a kind of slightly mixed reaction because obviously, you know, what I'm doing is not straight jazz. But they were very open to it last night. There was a young and old crowd. There were, you know, grandparents, parents and kids, whole generations of families there. And I think that's what made it such a good atmosphere, because there's a bit of sit down, there was a bit of listening, there was a bit of dancing, there was plenty of clapping, plenty of singing. I think it was people enjoyed it.
How do you feel about playing at a festival like this, which takes place in a town of no more than 10,000 inhabitants? I mean, that's the incredible thing about Jazz Sous Les Pommiers, is that it's not a big place.
Yeah, it's funny because you're right. It's a small town, but it suddenly becomes this enormous entity during this festival. And I think that's the festival's great strength, is that it creates this atmosphere within this very quaint, kind of ceremonious town. I mean, this is not a town that is world famous. People visit, like, you know, Venice or Paris or whatever. It's a small town that has this brilliant festival which attracts loads of people, and they've developed a sense of trust with their audience. You know, I think the audiences come here and they don't go, oh, I'm going to go to that. They go to everything, and they don't know what half the stuff is, but they trust the people that run the festival. And that, to me, is the point of a festival. You go and see things that you wouldn't normally see.
Would you come back?
I'd come back just to party, to be honest. It's so much fun. You know, there's great music. The setup is really great. It's a really good vibe. The food is great. The wine is great. The cider is even better. I mean, you know, what more do you want?
Jamie, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, this is the final night of Jazz Sous Les Pommiers, and as you can hear, there's an absolutely wild atmosphere in the streets. I'm right in the centre of town, and there's a brass band in front of me, and going through the main road right in the middle of the town next to the town hall. There is a series of brass bands just along the way. There's a parade. You've got several brass bands who are actually just on parade. And some of them are like samba schools, and they're absolutely great. So I'm here with Denis Lebas, officially the busiest man in the universe, possibly the happiest man in the universe. He is the artistic director of Jazz Sous Les Pommiers. And the festival has just come to an end. In fact, I've been DJing for the volunteers who take part every year, and it's been a really joyous little party that we've had. Denis, at the end of each edition of the festival, how do you feel?
Yeah, I'm tired, but very happy. It was a very nice edition with a great concert, plus a lot of people, plus the sound. For me, it's wonderful. Yes, it was very a high edition, yeah.
You've just celebrated the 30th anniversary of Jazz Sous Les Pommiers. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, it's a long way, but a nice way too. It was a very small festival at the beginning, and now it's one of the big festivals in France. But I think we keep the same spirit.
How important is the work of the volunteers at the festival every year?
Yeah, there are around 200, so it's a lot of people, and they are very active. They support a part of the festival. I mean, they are a part of the of this festival, of the spirit of this festival, of the life of this festival. They are very important for us to do this festival each year.
Last question, Denis. What are your hopes for the future?
If we realize each festival like this one I signed to today, it's okay. we have the jazz is so there is so many possibilities to present different way, different color of this music.
Informative insights from the Jazz Le Sous Le Pommier Festival recorded last year, and thanks to Kevin Legendre for that report. This year's festival started yesterday and runs through to the 19th of May. And keeping on the French theme, you may want to check out the Jazz et Vin. That's the Jazz and Wine Festival happening at Newark on May the 19th and 20th, featuring Alan Barnes, Dave Newton, and Tim Cliphouse, and many more. This is Jazz Lineup with me, Julian Joseph, on BBC Radio 3, on FM, online, and on digital radio. Tenor saxophonist Josh Arcaleo releases his debut album on the Edition label. That's a good sign in my book, as the label has a small, carefully chosen artist roster of talent they truly believe in, and it includes both Phrenesis and Marius Nicette. Arcaleo comes from a more subtle school of players and is certainly in good company on this album with Ivo Neem on piano, Callum Gourley on bass, and James Madron on the drums. This is Nomad's Land. the tenor saxophone of Josh Arcaleo and Nomad's Land. Ivo Neem was on piano, Callum Gawley on the bass, and James Madron on the drums. The album is called Beginnings and out now on the Edition label. And look out for our profile on Edition Records on May the 27th. Well, that's almost it for tonight's show. Remember, there's plenty more jazz on Radio 3 with Jez Nelson on Monday nights at 11. And here's Jez to tell us what's on this week's show.
Hello, Julian. Well, on this week's Jazz on 3, I'm at the Cheltenham Jazz Festival for the world premiere of a suite of pieces by John Taylor, commissioned by BBC Radio 3 to celebrate the British piano player's 70th birthday. And it's a typically Taylor-esque set of originals, full of characteristic, graceful melodies and artfully arranged for a specially assembled octet that actually features his two sons, Leo and Alex Taylor, as well as an old favourite of Jazz on 3's, the tuba player Oren Marshall, and saxophonist Julian Arguiles. You can hear that gig on this week's Jazz on 3 here on BBC Radio 3 at 11 o'clock on Monday night.
Thanks, Jez. And on next week's Jazz lineup, a special concert set by alto saxophonist Martin Speak, recorded at King's Place, London. To end tonight's show, guitarist Jakob Bro calls on the talents of Bill Frisell, who's also on guitar, alto legend Lee Konitz, Ben Street on bass, and the late Paul Motion on drums, for an album full of steady-tempoed pieces, which he's aptly titled Balladeering, for an interesting collective recording that manages to hold your attention through the creative abilities of this truly heavyweight band. This is Evening Song. From me, Julian Joseph, bye-bye.
Hello, I'm John Shea with Music Through the Night on BBC Radio 3. And this part of the programme is devoted mostly to a Ravel and Liszt recital by the young Ukrainian pianist Vitaly Pizarenko. Ravel's failure to win the Prix de Rome caused a scandal in 1905 that proved there's no such thing as bad publicity. And among the many works from this period are the five pieces which he called Miroir. The first portrays night moths, the second birds singing at dawn, the third is a boat on the ocean, while the protagonist of the fourth, Alborada del Gracioso, the dawn song of a jester, has been called an Andalusian Petrushka. And the set ends in the Valley of the Bells,